Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Is this thing on, Darrell? Okay. I turned it on. I didn't know. All right, you found your place. Let's all stand. We'll read. I tell you what. Let's just read the whole chapter. And I'm not going to preach from all this. I'm just going to preach from verses 23 through 29. But we'll read the whole chapter. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she... By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, ordained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the opportunity we have to come and gather here this morning. Lord, we thank you for these that have taken time out of this day, Lord, to come and worship you. Lord, you said in your word in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And surely, Lord, it's the manner of some to forsook the house of God all across this land today. Lord, we realize it's a busy time during these holiday seasons, and Lord, that people are going here and there, Lord, and I just pray that you'd help us as we come in today to just to get our minds off of who's not here and get our minds fixed and centered upon you. Lord, I pray that you just ever have your way. Give us a move of God here in our hearts today. Help us for just a little bit. We thank you for the songs that's been sung. Lord, and I pray that you just ever bless your people. Bless churches across this land that's gathered together this morning. Those that are preaching, Lord, I pray that you'd anoint them afresh this morning. Lord, we love you, and we thank you again that we do have the opportunity to worship you. Help us now for just a little bit. We'll give you glory and praise for all that you do. If there's one here lost today or listening by the way of the webcast, I pray that you'll touch their heart. This might be the day that they'll come to trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you'll just meet the needs of each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. I want to look at just a few things this morning, verses 23 down through 29, and we'll not read them all again, but we'll read some of them as we go through the message this morning. I want to preach on four things involved for Moses to be used. Four things involved for Moses to be used. Now, there's a natural outline in this passage of Scripture, and I'm sure many people have preached from it down through times. I've heard a couple preachers in my time preach from this passage of Scripture. Can't even remember exactly how they used the text or thought, but I want to preach this morning on these four things involved for Moses to be used. I read the whole chapter. This is the Hall of Faith as God has moved upon the Apostle Paul, I believe, who penned this book down and recorded the faith of those patriarchs in times past that even some of them without a Bible had faith in God. We know that faith, the Bible said there, and it defines it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 said, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I believe that your faith brought you to the house of God this morning. And I believe that we're going to have the have God-given faith if we're going to make it through this journey, that we, we're going through, and we know that a lot of times our faith grows weak. We know that the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe that our faith is strengthened through preaching, through the teaching of the Word of God, just through reading the Word of God, that God works faith in our heart. And we see here of an incident or this passage that talks about Moses and his parents. And as I was looking at this last night and this morning, I was thinking about something here where we look at Moses' parents. It starts out by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We know the story how Pharaoh had heard that they were going to come a deliverer, that there was going to be one raised up that was going to deliver the children of Israel from the oppression of the Egyptian people. And we know that he had commanded and sent out a decree that all the male children were to be cast into the Nile River. And we see here Moses' parents, we see one thing, I think the first thing about it was their faith. Thank God for mamas and daddies that has faith to believe. And I was thinking about that faith this morning of Moses' parents. And I was thinking about faith overall. You know, our faith is passed down from generation to generation. We read in the Bible of different places where individuals were talked about because of the faith of their parents, that they had faith. We know that the Apostle Paul told Timothy over in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So we see, I believe that faith is passed from generation to generation, and as we go through this life, I believe we'll pass our faith on to our children. Well, you see people that's faithful a lot of times, they'll raise up children, and those children will be children of faith. I mean, their mamas and daddies teach them about God. They teach them about creation. They teach them about what Jesus has done. And by faith, most of the time, those children will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin because of the faithfulness of their parents. And thank God for mamas and daddies that has enough faith that'll keep them in the house of God. Some people don't have enough faith to get them back to church on Sunday night, let alone to come week after week, time after time, to the house of God. And then we wonder why people are so unfaithful. Well, we see that parents that are unfaithful have passed that on to their children. And we've seen a generation raised up that don't have any faith. I mean, they're questioning the Bible. They're questioning Jesus. They're questioning the death of the cross. They're questioning the way of salvation to get to heaven. And the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Men have got saved down through the years all by the same way, by grace through faith. In every dispensation, God has worked in the hearts of men, and it's always been by faith. And when this thing's over and the Lord comes back and the tribulation people people will get saved the same way. They'll get saved by grace through faith and believing what God has said. And so we see here that Moses' parents, we see their faith. They had faith, and they seen that Moses was a goodly child. They've seen he was a proper child. They seen that Moses was a child with potential. Would God that our parents today could see that their children, we've been challenged in the Word of God to train up a child in the way it'll go, and when it's old, it'll not depart from it. I believe if we'll train up a child according to the Word of God, hey, we'll pray with those children, we'll teach them from the Word of God, we'll carry them to the house of God. I don't mean that means that we'll put something in them that's somewhere out there that they'll never get away from, but I believe that we can train up our children to serve God, and they will serve God. The problem is when we see children that's not serving God today, that we as parents have not put in them what we should have. They've seen mamas and daddies unfaithful. And, we'll just have to say, oh, me, because we all can look at our lives and we can tell that we have failed. I've seen children that was raised up with godly parents that have faith, that trained, that brought those children up from the time they come into this world, and they taught them the precepts of the Bible. They taught them about Jesus. They taught them about grace. And they taught them about living for God. And they've seen mamas and daddies that had faith and were faithful, and they grew up to serve God. The trouble is, parents don't see their children's potential. We're more concerned about what they're going to be as far as the world's standards than we are of what God wants for them. They seen that Moses had potential, that he was a goodly child, he was a proper child, that God had a work for him. They wanted God's will to be done. So by faith, even though they went against the decree of the Pharaoh and they hid a little Moses in the bulrushes, in the little ark that was pitched within and pitched without, it was by faith the reason that they did this, because they seen the potential of what Moses could do. And what did they do? They raised up a child that led some 2 million Jews out of captivity there, or out of the oppression of the Egyptian people. We see their faith, we see their foresight, and we see their future of what they accomplished because of their faith. You know, I wished I had my children to raise over again. I don't, and we can't go back. All we can do is go forward. But we say hindsight is what? 20/20. And if I could see now, then, what I see now, I would have done everything different, Brother Keith, in raising my children. I'd have let them see a godly dad when they first come into this world that had faith, that had the right kind of faith. Now, I was saved. We went to church, but I'm going to tell you, there's areas that I failed in raising my children and teaching my children. We carried them to church, but there were some other areas that I could have done better in as a parent, as a dad. And if I could have just seen the potential and what my kids could have done for the Lord out yonder when they were little, I believe I could have done a better job. So we see Moses' parents, their faith, their foresight, and their future. Their future was hinged on what they did with Moses, I believe, in training him up, and them see, and Moses seeing their faith. Look how God worked in this situation, man. I mean, they had the faith to believe that God would protect them and would protect Moses, and they placed him in the right place. He got pulled out by the right person. She sent Moses' sister, and Moses' sister was there watching to see what would come of the child. When the Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out, she ran up there and said, "Hey, you want me to go get a nurse? You want me to get somebody to take care of this little fella for you?" And who did she go to? She went to Moses' mother. She went to the right person. And no doubt, Moses' mother had prayed for this time, and she got the opportunity to take care of this little child, a little boy, and she put some things in him while he was in her care that Moses never got away from. She put some fear of God in him, one thing. She put some love for God in his heart. So we see, number one, we see the refusing here of Moses in verse 24. It said, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." You know, I believe if we could raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord the way the Lord desires for us to, and we prayed with them, and we read the scriptures to them, we carried them to church, and they seen us at home being the kind of family and parents that God designed for us to be, I believe our children would turn out better a lot of times. If they seen us as parents more concerned about their spiritual condition than they was their prosperity and their material condition. Hey, there's nothing that says you have to have materialistic things to be happy. The happiest people you'll ever see are usually those that struggle in their life, and they have a love for God. They raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What we see here in this passage of Scripture, verse 24, we see the refusing of Moses. He had had something put in him that he never got away from, and we see he refused the identity of Egypt. He refused the identity of Egypt. He refused Egypt's fame. I mean, here he was. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I believe, if I've read correctly, that he was the only son, or she was the only daughter of the Pharaoh at that time. So that meant that by him being her even adopted son, he could have been the next Pharaoh there in the land of Egypt. I mean, he had a big job. He had a lot of things that he could have had. He refused Egypt's fame. He refused Egypt's fads. I mean, after he slew the Egyptian, put him in the sand, and the next day he went out and he was trying to break up the Hebrews, and they said, "What are you going to do? You going to slay us? You going to slay one of us too, like you did the Egyptian?" He thought, "Oh no, this thing has been known." So no doubt, Moses refused Egypt's fads. I mean, he could have had anything that he wanted there as far as the Egyptians' dress. You know, it's going to come a time in your life, if you're going to live for God, you're going to be used of God, you're going to have to refuse this world's fame, and you're going to have to refuse this world's fad. You're going to have to quit trying to want to be accepted of this world. And I believe that Egypt is a type of the world. And Moses here, we see the refusing. He refused the identity of Egypt. He refused not only the fame and the fad, but he refused the fortune. I mean, he could have had it all. He could have had plenty of money. Instead of a name and fame in Egypt, he ended up in God's hall of faith. And you know the story of the children of Israel. I'm sure most of you have read it, and how they were led out, into how Moses was used of God to lead all this great number of people out, and how he went before the Pharaoh and he did those 10 miracles there. And we see that here is Moses, his refusing. If you're going to ever serve God, you're going to have to refuse the things of this world. You can't walk with this world and walk with God on a regular basis, I promise you that. This world is pulling at people today. That's why we see in so many churches across this land that are they're just barely making it, because the pull of this world is so strong today, and they've been fed this weak mentality of a spiritual life that they can just live any which way and be like this world and have the things of this world at their hand and still please God. We see the refusing. Moses couldn't live in Egypt and please God, be the son of Pharaoh, when God had a work for him to do. He refused the identity of Egypt. He refused the idolatry of Egypt. No doubt, Jochebed, I believe that was her name. I believe that was Moses' mother's name. Ain't that correct? I believe that she had talked to him about the God of Israel. She had put some things in him while he was little. You know what the Catholics say? They say, "Give us your child of their seven, and they'll always be a Catholic." There's a lot of truth to that, with the exception if the Holy Ghost enlightens a person. Well, I believe that Moses, he'd been trained in the schools of Pharaoh, no doubt, after he went into the house of Pharaoh. But I'm going to tell you, while he was little and Jochebed was taking care of him and nursing him, she had taught him about the one true God, a Jehovah, and she had put some things in him that he refused the idolatry of Egypt. You know how I was looking at this, and you know God used all those miracles that he performed there, and those things that he did there to Israel, and dealt with each one of those gods that they had. It was a country, it was a land that was filled with idolatry. Yet we see the refusing of Moses. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to refuse the idolatry of this world if you're going to ever please God. If you're going to ever be used of God. I mean, this country is filled with idolatry now. Anything that you place before God is idol, is an idol. Anything that we account more special than pleasing God or God being our Savior and God being our God is an idol. We can make anything out of an idol. You can make a house out of an idol. You can make a car out of an idol, into an idol. But we see the refusing of Moses. I'm talking about four things involved for Moses to be used. Then we see the choosing of Moses there in verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Did you know that there's pleasure in sin for a season? There's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. You don't believe it? Look at Fidel Castro. He died, a man that has oppressed people for years and years there in the land of Cuba. He lived to be 90 years old. And he has oppressed probably as many people as any other man in the land. He probably oppressed as many or more people than the Pharaoh had. Yet he enjoyed probably his life, I guess. I don't see how you could enjoy your life like that. That'd be, seem like a miserable life being a tyrant over people, an oppressing people. He couldn't have much love in his heart the way he treated folks and the way he kept them poor and kept them dependent and wouldn't, all the trouble that he caused in the land of Cuba. But I'm going to tell you, if you live for God, you're going to suffer some persecution. Everything not going to be hunky-dory in the Christian life. And that's the way the Moses was. We see the choosing of Moses here. He chose the suffering rather than the pleasure. And there's a lot of people today that because of the love of the world and the pull of the world, they've left. I've seen people since we've been here at Open Door Baptist Church, I've seen people because of the pull of the world and love of the world, they're out there today and they may be enjoying pleasure for a season, but I promise you, you mark it down and you watch their life, watch the direction that they're going in. Somewhere, if they're saved, if they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see trouble in their home. A lot of people offering their children up on the altar of pleasure today. And I'm afraid that some of those children, because of mom and daddy's disobedience, they're wanting to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little while. They may be the cause of their children not accepting Christ and dying and ending up in hell. I hope that's not the case. I hope that's not the case. But there's a lot of people that's offering their children up today because of the pleasures. It's going to come a time in your life you're going to have to choose whom you're going to serve. If you're going to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil, or you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, the Christian life is the best life there is. Even with all the problems, the persecutions that might come their way, hey, people calling you a fanatic. I'd rather be a fanatic for Jesus than to end up in a mess. And that's where they're headed. That's where people that walks away, I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm saying that they'll not get away with it. I'd hate to know I was a stumbling block to my children. Some children walk away. It all stems back to, I believe, the faith of their parents at one time or another, when they were little. We like to think ourselves real spiritual, but if we look and take inventory of our lives back through the years and how we treated God and the things of God, and then we'll quit wondering why our children turn out like they do sometimes. You can't hobnob with the world and the flesh and the devil and expect everything to be hunky-dory all the time. It takes some choosing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If God be God, then serve Him. If Baal be Baal, serve Him. That's what Elijah told them. And I promise you, there'll come that time in every individual's life, you're going to have to make a choice. There's some people who have made some choices today, and they're going to pay for it out yonder somewhere. The choosing of Moses, he chose to suffer the afflictions of God's people. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at a couple passages real quick. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 10, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. You know the Apostle Paul? He's probably the greatest preacher outside the Lord Jesus Christ that ever walked face this earth. He got struck down on the road to Damascus. He had letters casting Christians into prison. God did something in his heart that day. Took that zeal that he had and utilized it for the sake of Jesus and the preaching of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul probably suffered, and he was doing the right thing. Can I say that the Apostle Paul was doing the right thing? And you look at some of his letters and how he tells you how he was persecuted, the problems that he encountered, he was in shipwreck, he was in perils of robbers, he was in danger a lot of time. But he chose to suffer. He said that he may know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. And then 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13. Peter, verse 12, he said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Listen to this, verse 15. He said, But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matter. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So we see the choosing of Moses. He chose the suffering rather than pleasure. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. I could probably quote them, but I'm going to read them. Verse 11 said, Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And then he goes on and said, Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me tell you, we see the choosing of Moses, he chose to suffer. If you choose to walk with Jesus, friend, hey, there's going to be some suffering in this life. And Paul said that he counted it all joy. Peter said, if any man suffer, let him suffer as a Christian. If you stand for that Bible today and what's right, this thing's out of kilter today. This Christianity that the world's portraying today, it's not lined up with this Bible. It's not lined up with that Bible. This health and wealth crowd that they're preaching, if you're right with God, you're going to have riches and all this stuff. That's not right. Now God blesses some people. Brother Keith, you know who I believe He blesses? I believe He blesses material things a lot of times, those He can trust with it. Those that He knows will utilize it and use it for His glory. Those that will give it back to Him as He provides and gives it to them, I believe a lot of times. He'll bless people like that. And the reason He holds back from some of them is because He knows that they might not handle it real well. There's a lot of people. I've seen a crowd. They got to being blessed, and God began to bless them. Men made money hand over fist. Next thing you know, they're out of church. I've seen some. I've seen some that God pulled them up out of a horrible pit. He blessed them, and everything that they touched seemed like turned to money, but they couldn't handle it. Oh, yeah, they were free-hearted. But they got out of the will of God, and they're suffering today. And they're going to die miserable. They're going to die miserable. And they ain't got nothing today. It's all gone. The choosing of Moses. He chose to suffer the affliction of God's people. There's going to be some choices that you're going to have to make, young people, if you're going to serve God. The most important thing is not where you're going to go to college. It's not what are you going to accomplish. It's not whether you're going to what kind of accomplishments you're going to have in high school, not in college. But it's going to be what you accomplish through Jesus and for Jesus. The most important thing is what can God do with you. You may have to make some choices. Logan, if you're going to be a man of God, you're going to have to make some choices. You can't be like the world. You can't do some of the things that these other boys do. If you're going to be a man of God. You're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to choose maybe to suffer a little bit. It's hard choices sometimes. The pressure's on kids and teenagers. I know that. I've been there. And I made some bad choices, I'm sure. I know I did. Because you're worried about what somebody thinks about you. Let me tell you, when this thing's over, who gives a rip what everybody thought? Except for one. Except for what Jesus thought. There may be a little suffering in this life, but I'm going to tell you, it'll be worth it in that life. So we see the choosing of Moses. We see the losing of Moses. Verses 26 and 27 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. By faith he forsook the world. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Not fearing the wrath of the world. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When Moses turned his back on Egypt, he lost some things that no doubt were available to him as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Number one, let me say he lost his prosperity. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19-20 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 32 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Young people, I promise you, hey, if you'll do as Moses did, and you'll lose this world, and you'll turn your back on this world, you'll live for Jesus, you'll seek His will in your life, and seek His control in your life, and let Him have His way, I promise you, you'll be the winner. You need to get an education. Don't go off and say, I said not to get an education. You need to get an education. In this sophisticated world we live in, kids need an education. But get the right kind of education. Don't go to some college and let some godless professor take away your faith. You don't have to. You can believe that this Bible is what it says it is. It is the Word of God. I read it in your hearing. Hey, we understand that this world was created and framed by the Word of God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then that verse 6 said, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. Don't let nobody ever tell you that you need another Bible other than this King James Bible. Hey, you can understand this Bible. I believe it's God's Word for the English-speaking people. Don't let nobody take away your faith in that this is the very Word of God. And its precepts are true. He lost his prosperity. He lost all the things, the riches and everything that he could have because he wanted to please God. He lost his power. He could have been the next Pharaoh of Egypt. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15-16 says, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let me tell you, the one and all-powerful God's in control of this thing. He is the one and true potentate. I mean, we see that Moses here, he turned his back on the power that he could have had down in Egypt had he not wanted to please God. The losing of Moses. He lost his prosperity, he lost his power, he lost his place there in Egypt. What about that? Hey, you may lose some things to this world, but I'm going to tell you, you can have that place that's pleasing to God in your life. So we see number three, the losing of Moses, the choosing of Moses, the refusing of Moses. And then let me say fourthly, the using of Moses. Verse 28 and 29. Said, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. So we see here the using of Moses because of his obedience, because of his refusing, because of his choosing, because of his using, losing. We find that God was he was available, and God used him to the fullest extent. He took a nobody and made a somebody that could lead out the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Brought them to the Red Sea, and as he looked there and he raised his hands through faith, God parted the waters there and he brought them through and brought them all the way up to the point in time for 40 years there that he carried them into they were fixing to go into the land of Canaan. And still Moses messed up and he didn't get to go in. But we see the using of Moses, what I want to look at. We see his excuses in Exodus chapter 3. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 3. I'm hurrying. Exodus chapter 3. We'll look at just a few verses right here. We see his excuses. You know, Moses got to that point that he was available. The reason he was used, he got to that point finally, after all the excuses he made, where God could use him. And we find his excuses here in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. He started out here, he said, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, Lord, I'm just a nobody. I murdered a man back there in Egypt. He said, who am I? You know, there's a lot of people today, Brother Keith, they're sitting around on the benches of the churches, and churches needing them to do something, and they're sitting there and they're saying, who am I to do that? He's talking about talents. There's a lot of hidden talents in churches. There's a lot of people that got gifts that they're not utilizing, that God has blessed them with. They just got to find that gift. But we find Moses here, we find a man that made excuses, and so many people today, they'll make every kind of excuse to not do something for God. That's why 15% of the people in churches do everything that's done. There's another 15% probably that could, but they're like Moses. They're saying, who am I? I can't do this. You know what they used to tell us in school when I was little? I remember this. Said, can't, never could, do nothing. Can't, never could, do nothing. I made excuses about preaching for a long time. I was shy. I was bashful. I can't preach. I can't preach. I still can't preach, Brother Keith. But I like to try. And when I got to that place of surrender, we see his excuses. One excuse was a lack of capability. He said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm not capable of that. There's a lot of men of God down through the years. Hey, them little old mountain preachers up yonder in the North Georgia mountains, some of them couldn't read or write. Hey, but they got over there on the creek in the woods somewhere. They began to pray. They began to seek God. And God anointed them, and he used them. And people got saved through those hills in them little revival meetings back through the years. But within themselves, they weren't capable. Lack of capability. Lack of message, verse 13. Said Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? He said, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't have a message. You know, us sometimes we think, I can't preach, I don't have a message. That's why it's important to study. I can't witness to somebody. I don't know what to say. I can't tell somebody about Jesus. I'm afraid I'll mess up. Well, do what the Bible says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, mind you, there's a lot of people with a lot more capabilities than me and Brother Keith have. I mean, they're great Bible scholars. They can expound the Scriptures. They can take one word and preach as long as we do, 40, 45 minutes sometimes on one word. I've heard it. And I think, where did they get that? Where did they get that? Lack of message. You know how you're going to get messages, Logan? You're going to study that Bible. Not just when you got the opportunity to preach. You need to study every day. You need to look in there. You need to read. And you need, as you read, pray and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, give me something today. Give me a passage of Scripture that will help me at school. Hey, give me that opportunity to witness to somebody. Hey, we don't have to be told. Hey, Brother Darrell, I was thinking about this when you were talking about there at Bass Pro. The Lord telling you to witness. He didn't tell you. He's already told you. He's already told us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Hey, thank God for them divine encounters, though, every once in a while. Hey, we just sow as we go. And we don't do it because of the fear factor a lot of times. We're afraid of what they're going to say to us, what they're going to do. But, friend, hey, the Lord don't have to speak to you and tell you to witness to somebody. He's already told us. Every one of us are seed sowers and water boys. It's God that gives the increase. We need to learn how to witness to people. How do you learn in the Bible? Just get in there and John 3:16. You know, memorize them passages of Scripture. John will show you how to get saved. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. John 6:44. You need to memorize that passage of Scripture because I'm going to tell you, that word draw, that word draw is a strong word that means to pull with force. Do you remember when you got under conviction? How the drawing of the Holy Spirit pulled and tugged at your heart? People don't get saved without getting under conviction. You might get some professions of faith, and we don't need to worry about that. Just let God do the work. Hey, we just need to give out the seed. We need to give out the word. You know how we're going to fill this church up? By witnessing. Hey, this crowd just done quit on God. We might get a few of them, but I'm going to tell you the main way we're going to do it is win people and disciple them. do what the Great Commission's already told us. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Teaching them. Baptizing them. We fail so much at this, and then we wonder why our churches are half empty. Well, we ain't witnessed to nobody this week. If I asked for a show of hands, I'd be afraid to see how many would be raised, mine included, this week. How many people have we earnestly prayed that God would place in our way and that we could witness to? How many tracts have we give out? I know we still got a box full back there. Got two boxfuls of church tracts. No message. Lord, what am I going to say? Well, say what He's already told you. You got 66 books of the words of God. We just need to hide its word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Hide its word in our heart that we might use it when the opportunity is presented to us to witness. Hey, when Moses, he made every kind of excuse, Brother Keith, in the world. And yet when he got down there, he said, I can't talk. He said there was a lack of authority, chapter 4, verse 1. His excuses. We use so many excuses. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. He made the excuse of lack of authority. Then he said, lack of eloquence. Verse 10, chapter 4, said, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since, Thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Verse 11 said, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, we can talk about anything and everything but the Lord. And we come make excuses for not witnessing. Well, I just can't talk to people. Well, we don't have no trouble talking about ball games, about hunting, about that big old buck that I seen that I almost shot. Stephen sent me a picture of a big old buck this morning. Guy killed it this morning, Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Probably the biggest buck on our land, hunting land. We can find something to talk about if we want to. Hey, we ought to learn that Bible and talk about Jesus every once in a while. People know how to cuss and don't know how to witness. That's sad, ain't it? They know how to put them words together when they get angry. Lack of eloquence. He said, Lord, I'm slow of speech. I stutter a lot. Hey, after he got down there, though, you read the whole story. He couldn't keep his... Aaron didn't get to say nothing. He said, I'll send Aaron with you. He'll be your mouthpiece. Quit making excuses, Moses. That's why I try to get y'all to memorize that verse over there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's the fear factor that keeps us from witness. We're afraid of what people are going to say about us. We're afraid that we're going to drive them away. Where are we going to drive them? They're already going to hell. If we get filled with the Holy Ghost and we get to hide the Word of God in our heart and we pray for opportunities, for doors to open for us, and if we sow that seed as we go, you know why we ain't have no doors open? We ain't sowing no seed. We ain't watering no seed. You may run up on somebody done sowed a seed, and you may water that seed. And the Holy Ghost may work in their heart and they get to thinking, hey, what's going on here? Lack of eloquence. Well, we don't have to be eloquent. Then lack of any more excuses. Verse 13. And he said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." He said, "Lord, just send someone else. Leave me alone. I'm happy just keeping sheep. I've made over here on the backside of the desert. I ain't bothering nobody." He done made every excuse in the world, Brother Todd. And he finally just said, "Lord, send somebody else. I don't want to go. Leave me alone." That's the way a lot of people are in our churches today. They said, "Lord, let somebody else do it. Hey, let that church down the road do it. They got more people. They got more time. They got more money. Let them do it." Hey, if we're not careful, he'll let them have the blessing, and we'll miss out on it. We'll come to empty pews. Lack of previous success, verse chapter 5, verse 23. "Said, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." He's still making excuses. And then lack of previous acceptance, chapter 6 and verse 12. "And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" Can I say this? You can make any kind of excuse not to serve God. These people walked away and quit. You can find an excuse for not serving God. You can find an excuse for God not being able to use you. But how about some excuses where he can use you? Said, "Lord, send me," as Isaiah did. Hey, God's looking for someone to use. But it's going to take us choosing the right things, refusing some things, and forsaking some things, and being willing to be used. Moses got willing after he made every excuse in the world. He tried to get out of it. God used him mightily. He ended up on Mount Nebo, I believe it was. He looked over in the promised land. The Lord said, "Moses, you might as well just hush. You ain't going over there. You smoked a rock and stood speaking to it. I'm going to let you look at it, but you ain't going." God buried him. Nobody knew where he was at. They'd have made an idol out of him, probably. They'd set up a shrine for Moses, probably worship him. But thank God, he can use us if we're willing.